Good morning. How's everybody doing this Monday? That doesn't sound very enthusiastic. A little bit colder, we're into November, but be encouraged by the choir of voices around you. Once, Jesus was sitting on a mountainside when his disciples came up to him and they sat at his feet. And he began to cast a vision for them. This is what the church will look like when the church is as it should be. This is the vision of the church. And I want it to capture your minds and your hearts and your imaginations. There's so much that's trying to take hold of you. On a Friday night in the dorms or cottages, on Monday afternoon, in class, in the registrar's office, on the phone with family, in those books or that song or with that group of people, there's so much that's trying to take hold of you. But Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, "This is the vision that I want to take hold of you." And so Jesus began to describe a list of different types of people that the world usually labels the least important. And Jesus said, these people are actually the most important. These people are actually the most important. The poor in spirit, those who weep, the meek, get to know them. Make them central to your community. Those who are hungry and thirsty for food or for God, those who know mercy in their bones, those who are single-minded at the expense of being cool or popular, learn from them. Those who make peace, those who are hurt because of their faith, let the least of these shape you and this community. Because this community that you're a part of is going to look different than the world. And if it doesn't, if you don't, there's a problem. Because you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Imagine a group of people, Jesus says, that reflect the habits of the kingdom of God, who don't just check off the boxes, but who care deeply about reconciliation over division, about faithfulness over sleeping around, about truthfulness over a fake life, a double life, who care deeply about love over hatred. Oh, how the world would know me, Jesus said to his disciples, if you showed them the life of God in such a way. Wouldn't that be great? Are you catching this vision? It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's a vision that I want you to fall deeply, madly in love with, and I want you to be part of it. But, Jesus warns his followers, this vision, it's not about what other people think of you. That's not where I want you to focus. It's only about me. It's about Jesus. So don't give so other people see you. Don't pray so other people hear you. Don't fast so other people notice you. Do these things, but do them because you love me, not yourself. Don't worry about yourself, about the little things or the big things in life. I know it's hard, but worrying is not going to get you anywhere. Don't get caught up in chasing your own worries. That's a dead-end street. Instead, get caught up in chasing after this vision. Get caught up in chasing after me. Chase after Jesus. Not out of guilt or shame, but out of freedom and joy and love and curiosity. Don't guilt and shame yourself into this vision. Don't guilt and shame each other into this vision. Don't judge in that way, Jesus says, but let me help you see clearly. Let me help you see freedom and joy and love and curiosity. Let me help you see life in God. Let me help you see clearly so that you can help each other see clearly. And when you catch this vision, you'll begin to understand what is holy, what is valuable. You'll begin to notice these pearls in life. And all of this brings us up to our passage this morning. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. So if you have your Bibles, let me encourage you to bring your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, open up. Open up to Matthew chapter 7, turn on your phone, look it up. I hope that the Sermon on the Mount is being creased into your Bibles. You know, like if you were to drop it on the table, I hope that this is one of the places that it would naturally open up to. I hope that this vision is being caught. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if a child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if a child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask? This is the word of the Lord. Well, gosh, if this is true, I have a long list of things that I would like to ask for. How about a new laptop to replace mine that harkens back to 2007? Or a new phone, because every time I turn mine on, it tells me I'm out of space again. How about furniture for my house, or better winter clothes, or a warm tropical vacation in February or March? I think I might need that then. That'd be nice. I could make a nice list. But when I put that list in the context of the rest of this sermon that Jesus is giving, somehow I feel like it doesn't quite fit. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. You see, Jesus tells us to ask. But when he tells us to ask, he's not telling us to ask for whatever we want. He's telling us to ask in the context of being a disciple. I'm going to say that again. Jesus isn't telling us to ask for whatever we want. He's telling us to ask in the context of being a disciple. But the question is still there. It's still lurking around in these verses. What do we ask for? What do we ask for, and how do we ask it? Well, I asked Derek. I ask him a lot of things. He's one of the people on my sounding board that I ask a lot of my questions and thoughts about life and faith, and I think that's important. You should have your own sounding board, some people in your life that you can bounce your questions and thoughts about life and faith off of to dialogue together. So I asked Derek, knowing that I'd have to be preaching on this passage today, I asked him with some panic in my voice, what do we ask for? That's not in here. What do we ask for? And how do we ask it? He looked at me for a second. And he seemed sort of perplexed that I hadn't thought of this already. And he said, our daily bread. Duh, the Lord's Prayer. This is where we start. When Jesus tells us to ask, he's not telling us to ask for whatever we want. He's telling us to ask in the context of being a disciple that he's laid out already in the past couple chapters. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. Keep us from temptation. Deliver us from evil. Bring your kingdom on earth just as it is in heaven. These are the things that we should be asking for. It's no secret that our hearts are not always good. Trigg touched on this the other night in the gathering. Our hearts actually deceive us a lot of the time. So how do we go about building the habit of asking for the right thing? Training our hearts to know what to ask for. A good starting spot is Scripture. Praying the Lord's Prayer. This could be revolutionary for you. I often hear from you that you just don't feel like you're growing in your faith right now, but you want to. Let me suggest this. Imagine this. If every morning you were to wake up and pray this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and you let it sink in, like really sink in, and you let it speak to the front page of the newspaper, and you let it speak into that syllabus from class, or whatever happened last weekend, praying the Lord's Prayer and letting it speak into those things could change your life. I'm not exaggerating. Could shape your heart to know what the right things to ask for are. Or praying the Psalms, tracing your fingers along those words that have been used so much in the past thousands of years that they're tattered and worn, but strong as ever, and can hold up in any season of life. We're getting a hold of some of those prayers from our most beloved church mothers and fathers and letting their words echo in your heart. All of these ways can help train your heart to know what to ask for. Sometimes I think that we feel if we get help from others, our prayer might not be real or genuine. That they're only authentic when they come spontaneous from the depths of our heart. There's a lot that comes from our heart that sure is authentic, but may not be right. And so when Jesus' followers asked him how to pray, he gave them a form. These words here in the Lord's Prayer, and he said, pray this. Don't just look into the depths of your heart. Look into the depths of this prayer. Let it shape you and your heart. Sort of like a new cook. I know some of you out there are learning how to cook for the first time. I know that you're learning how to cook for the first time because I know the fire alarms are going off a lot. Just as a new cook has to use recipe cards or cookbooks or cooking websites to help train you how to know these ingredients and these methods and these measurements, and only after you use these things can you then begin to change them a little bit or improvise a little bit and have it still taste good. So too with prayer. Learn from the recipe cards of Scripture. Learn from the church. Let the Holy Spirit shape you in these ways. That is how we will know what to ask for. So this morning, I'd like to close us with prayer, with the Lord's Prayer, that we all pray together. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Go in peace.